Welcome to episode 22 of the Tag Teamers podcast. This morning we're going to be going over everything noteworthy that happened last night on Friday Night SmackDown heading into SummerSlam. What shall we kick it off with?
I mean, we got to talk about the title change. Biggest story of the night. Bloodline wins the tag championships from DIY. I thought it was way too early to end the title reign for DIY. Way too early to put the tag titles on Bloodline.
Yeah, last week you said no shot when it came to the Bloodline taking the tag titles off of DIY this week. This is like if you gave an 8-year-old like the pen and paper and they just really liked a group of like below average mid-carders and they were like, oh, I'm just going to give them all the titles. Like if you gave me the, if you let me write the story when I was 8, I would just have given Batista like the tag titles, the world heavyweight championship, the WWE championship. I would have given him the Divas title, too. I would have given him everything. And that's just, like, what this is with the Bloodline. I just don't understand how they're being booked like this.
I mean, it's nepotism at its finest, really, you know, unfortunately. But that's all it is. These guys are in the position that they're in just because of who they're related to. And I think it's taken away from the rest of the roster. Obviously, you know, like Solo's in the main event of SummerSlam, undeservingly so. These guys took the tag titles. I mean, Tama Tonga's been here 2-3 months. Jacob Fatu, 1.5 months now, and they've already got gold. Although DIY's been here busting ass for years, week after week, getting organically over. The thing that's upset me the most is, as I mentioned, Gargano's from Cleveland. We couldn't even get him on the SummerSlam card in Cleveland. And they end a 28-day title reign just like this.
Yeah, I mean, Jacob Fatu walks in the company, just opens his mouth really wide and runs into people in the corner 4 times, and he's a tag title holder. It's just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and I mean, I mentioned it last week, but we've seen Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu now wrestle twice as a tag team, and they're the tag team champions. I'm not a fan of that. I prefer real tag teams to be the tag team champions. You gotta cut your teeth, you know, as a tag team, not just, you know, be over. Or I mean, they're not even really that over. That's the thing, is they're just by association being in the Bloodline, they're in this dominant position, which honestly they didn't even need the tag titles anyways because they're the featured segment every single SmackDown already.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they're over. I mean, obviously, there's a sector of people that, you know, are saying how much aura they have and this and that and Jacob Fatu's athleticism, which is true. But there are a lot of people that feel the same way we do, I think. Maybe not the majority, but I wouldn't say they're over. I think a lot of people think they're bad.
Yeah, I think the people that think they're over are maybe the people that are familiar with their game outside of WWE. But people got to remember, a lot of people just watch WWE. So if that's all you watch, you've seen Jacob Fatu 5-6 times, and he's a champion. You know, it just doesn't make sense. There's not enough development of the character, not enough development in the story, honestly. I mean, they got the tag title title shot after winning the gauntlet last week. You know, like, there wasn't even a build to this match. They didn't care to have a feud. They didn't care to build it up. They just wanted to get the tag titles on them as quick as possible. And I think, looking back at it now, the only reason they put the titles on DIY was just so the Bloodline could take it off of face tag team. Because I don't think they had any intentions to give those guys a proper run.
Yeah. So, we're heading into SummerSlam. The Bloodline has the tag titles now. We're not expecting Solo to win the WWE Championship. So how do you think that's going to look come next week?
I mean, obviously they put Bloodline rules on the match, so I guess that's the escape for Solo. You know, when he loses, maybe, you know, the blame can go to somebody or something else, and it's just one of those things where Solo doesn't take accountability because, you know, Roman showed up in the match and cost him, or Jimmy Uso, or whoever it is. But, I mean, it shouldn't be that way. Right, because those guys win the tag titles. Solo's whole thing is about Roman's not the tribal chief because he couldn't beat Cody. Then obviously he's not going to beat Cody either. So it really, he should be taking accountability next week, but of course that's not what's going to happen.
Yeah, one thing from, well, I mean, there are just a lot of things from Solo that don't work, but one line from him last night that just it's just so bad coming out of his mouth is saying Roman was weak.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he just looks like a big kid in the ring. I wrote it down. He looks like a boy amongst men in the WWE. Like, you know, they throw this all black clothing on him, and he tries to put on the mean face and everything, and it just doesn't work. He just looks like a mad fifth grader.
Yeah, and then the way he ripped his coat off before climbing up the stairs to get into the ring.
When he walked out, I was like, what is he wearing?
Yeah.
He legitimately looked like a homeless person.
Yeah, I mean, week after week, they're adding a new thing to his attire. You know, it's crazy. But yeah, I mean, to say Roman's weak after, you know, he had the most dominant title reign, you know, in modern history, at least, you know, while Solo's accomplished nothing, you know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. The other funny thing about the Bloodline is the eye patch.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing with the eye patch?
Yeah. I don't know. I hate that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, like Kevin Owens raked his eyes a month ago, but I mean, come on. You know, we don't need the eye patch floating around still.
Yeah. I mean, it's just another thing. Like, they're having to throw all these bells and whistles on all these guys to try to put them over and add some aura, character, texture to them, and it just falls flat. It just makes me cringe. You know, actually, I actually don't even mind it anymore because now it's just comedy to me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm past the point of being annoyed by the fact that they're being booked the way they are, and I can't take them seriously like that. But it's like if somebody hated Joe Biden, but then they came to just enjoy, like, the comedy of the stuttering or whatever, for example. Just anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd be with you, except now they're winning the gold, you know, like, or at least those two won the tag titles. Like, I would be okay with how they are as long as they're not carrying gold that's undeserved, you know. I think, I hope at least with these two winning, maybe Owens and Orton take it off them. Maybe that's the plan. I don't want to see this go in a direction where Jimmy and Jay reunite in a few months, and then that's who's feuding with these guys. I hope that this is something fun, you know, at the end of the tunnel with the tag title reign. But even one thing I want to make note of on the opening segment with Cody and Solo, Cody gets challenged to Bloodline rules. And, you know, he says, It might not be my smartest decision to accept this, but I do. There's only been one Bloodlines rule match ever, and he won. So I'm not sure why he's worried about it. Last time there was one, he had John Cena, Jey Uso, and The Undertaker come save him. I don't know why he would act as if it's not a smart decision for him.
Yeah, it would make more sense if he was like, yeah, Bloodline rules, sure. I mean, the last one I had, this, and this happened. Like, it's no, you know, that's not too much for me.
Yeah, right. He's undefeated in it. I don't understand the concern.
The other thing Cody said was the tribal chief line about, you know, the tribal chief. He's not here. Do you think there's anything to that? Like, is Roman going to be a tribal chief again, you think?
I'm sure, you know, he'll carry that moniker probably forever now.
Okay.
But just probably have a different version of what it was. You know, like, I don't think he'll be the same character, but we'll probably call him that for the rest of his career, I would imagine.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Even with Solo Cody, the thing that I can't get behind is week after week for who knows how long, 2 months maybe, we've seen the Bloodline laying somebody out, and then all four of them have Cody surrounded. Cody has no backup, and then they all just choose to leave. Like,
yeah.
where's the consistency there? You know, like, every week they want to beat him up so bad. And then the night before SummerSlam, the time to soften him up the most is right there, and they just walk away.
Yeah, that's when they decide to back off.
Yeah. I just don't get it. I think that made the Bloodline look stupid in itself.
Is this the worst storyline in recent memory for you?
The worst storyline for a major feud, for sure.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think this match has no business being the main event of SummerSlam. I guess at least adding the Bloodline rules stipulation to it does elevate it, because now there is some unpredictability and, you know, we're going to see different things. But one reason why I think they might have, it might have been best to stay away from the bloodline rules is because the expectations, the expectations have been set pretty high now. You know, like I just mentioned, the last one we had The Rock a part of it, The Undertaker a part of it, John Cena a part of it. To me, you know, like how do you follow that up? You can't. So now that we're getting the bloodline rules again, you know, like Jimmy Uso and Roman returning doesn't quite, you know, hit that same level.
Yeah. Now that we have the bloodline rules stipulation, I know previously we thought Roman would return after the match. Do you think that changes now? Do you think he's like the Undertaker role for this match?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine he's going to show up during the match. I mean, if they're going to do the thing where everyone's music hits when they come out, then yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And that's what I want to see anyways. I mean, I especially if it's going to be bloodline rules, which it is, I want to see the unpredictability happen within the match, not following the match.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You want to move on off the bloodline?
Yeah, we had Carmelo and Andrade after that. You want to hit that?
Yeah, I mean, Andrade moves to 2-0 over Carmelo. Kind of surprising. I was expecting Carmelo to get the win back here.
Yeah, these guys are kind of, they're putting on the best match on SmackDown each week now, I would say, pretty clearly. They're kind of carrying the in-ring component of SmackDown on their backs. How many matches are you expecting from them now?
I'm going to guess they're going to run a best of seven just because in that vignette backstage, Carmelo said, I'll beat you in a best of three, best of five, whatever you want. Well, he's already down 2-0, so the three is out the window. And, I mean, they could just run to five, but, I mean, if these two keep putting on the banger matches they are, I don't see why they would stop at five. I mean, look at the rest of the match, or the rest of the night in terms of match quality. It's not there. So, it would kind of be foolish to move off of these two wrestling each other anyways.
Yeah, I figured after that line, it'd be at least five, but seven would make sense, too. Yeah, I mean, not a whole lot to say about that. Honestly, like they're just putting on great matches each week, and we're gonna keep getting them more weeks than not for the next who knows how many weeks. So,
yeah, and I think one thing that this really shows is if you wrestle right and tell a good story in the match, you can get over by just wrestling. You know, I think sometimes people get confused that you need the character work and the stories and the promos, which you do, but if you tell the good story in the ring, you're going to get over because that's essentially all they're telling. I mean, yeah, Andrade or Carmelo will alternate who gets, you know, a 30-second backstage promo, but the story's mostly being told in the ring who's better than who, and that's enough of a story for me. Some people complain that being better than somebody isn't a story, but it is.
Yeah, and I mean, they both have good characters and good looks. I mean, Andrade is straight up looking like a Breaking Bad character right now. I mean, he's got one of the best looks in the WWE, I think, honestly.
Yeah,
and that mask was sick.
Yeah, I love the mask he wears. I absolutely think he's got one of the best looks. I said weeks ago, I think he's got one of the best physiques in all of wrestling too. I think he's built almost perfectly for a pro wrestler. He's not too big, not too small. He's athletic enough, but he's also enough of a powerhouse.
He could maybe lean out a little bit, but that's about it. I mean, he's got most of what he needs.
Yeah, for sure. What about the other tag title match of the night? Bianca and Jade disqualification.
Yeah, we were expecting them to win it back, so that came as a bit of a surprise. What did you think?
I mean, it just didn't really make sense to me. I guess it's just more of a let's keep the titles away from them just a little bit longer, you know. I would imagine the next time they run it back, they're going to get it. I mean, they have to get another title shot. They won the match by disqualification, so I don't see why they wouldn't. But I'm not entirely sure why they're holding off on it right now. Maybe, I guess, just to give Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn more of a title reign. But the titles belong to Jade and Bianca, as far as I'm concerned. They're the only two right now that can elevate those things.
For sure. All the other tag teams are just not on their level.
Exactly. LA Knight, Logan Paul.
Just another bad performance from Logan Paul, in my opinion. I think LA Knight did everything he could have done to make that segment good, and it just wasn't good. LA Knight, or sorry, Logan Paul, just not really making sense on the mic. See what I had written down. So Logan Paul did this, but it seems to be common right now, like Gunther's doing it. I think Isla Dawn and Alba Fire might have done it too, but champions are making fun of challengers for wanting to win the title. Yeah. I don't know what's up with that. They're like, you want to win this title so bad.
Right.
So, all right. Sorry, Bicep Boy, you're not my type. That was the worst line in weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was so bad. And then also, when LA Knight steals his truck, afterward, he's blaming Nick Aldis for his truck getting stolen.
Yeah, like, right.
It's your truck. Why'd you leave the keys in it unlocked?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just yeah. Nothing. I mean, he sucked. He sucked last night.
I think that's kind of a common thing with Logan. The more he's on the mic, the uglier it gets. You know, I think where Logan works best is when he has these matches with these big time guys, and they can carry, and he can do his own in the ring, but then people just see the social media clips and think, oh, he's incredible. I think that's where he fits best. When he's going to cut promo week after week, I just don't think he's got it.
Yeah, and it's odd as somebody who has become wealthy and famous off of content creation, being on a microphone, being in front of a camera for the past decade. You would think he'd be great on the mic, but he's terrible. He puts on this weird accent and just says a bunch of stuff that doesn't make any sense and falls flat every single week.
Yep. And I mean, not that it's entirely the same thing, but Ronda, we've seen when she was in the UFC, she was actually known as a good trash talker. Then she gets to the WWE, and she's like one of the worst people on the mics of all time. So I don't know. It doesn't connect for some of these people sometimes once they get in there.
Yeah, it's a different dynamic.
Yeah, definitely. Are you expecting anything with the truck tonight at SummerSlam? Because we'd seen LA Knight before. He'd won the Slim Jim Battle Royal last year. He was driving that Slim Jim car around. I saw some people had the idea that maybe he'll rebrand the truck. Maybe he'll just destroy the truck. Are you expecting that to tie in at all?
Yeah, you think we get spray painted on it or something like that? Like the banner?
We should, right? I mean, that's kind of what I would expect. Something. If he makes his entrance tonight at SummerSlam, driving out in the truck, and there's just spray painted all over, I think that'd be awesome visual.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, do you think it's just him showing up to the venue in it or pulling up in the parking lot in it and getting out and going right to the ring for his match? Or how do you think the entrance will be?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what it'll be. We'll just see him in the parking lot with it. But I would like to see him just come right out, right on the stage with it. That'd be cool to me.
Yeah, probably one of those two.
Yeah, you wanna discuss Mr. Cleveland? Final guesses on who Mr. Cleveland will be?
For Logan Paul? I mean, you mentioned Jake Paul last, not on our last podcast, but just privately.
Yeah.
And that's probably the favorite in terms of betting odds if we were to make them.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking. It could be Jake, although that would kind of little brother Logan, but by calling his brother Mr. Cleveland rather than himself. But
yeah,
I mean, it's definitely possible. Final prediction on who will save LA Knight, because you would imagine he's going to have some backup too.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Donovan Mitchell.
Okay. That's fair. I had said last week I think Mr. Cleveland will be MGK for Logan. I think if I had to, I think that's who I would stick to. And then, yeah, I think Donovan Mitchell or somebody on the Browns for LA Knight will make sense.
LA Knight's backup is a little bit more of a shot in the dark, but I would say my two would be Donovan Mitchell and Myles Garrett.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, I don't think LA Knight even confirmed he's going to have backup, did he?
No.
No, so, you know, he might not even have anybody, so it's not worth speculating on that too much. The other big thing, Tiffany Stratton gets the briefcase. What are your thoughts on this whole segment? I wasn't a big fan of how it was just revealed backstage. I would have preferred something like that in the ring. And honestly, I was kind of underwhelmed by the actual briefcase.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea and Tiffany always put you in a good mood, but as far as the briefcase reveal, it just seemed too, not enough of a spectacle about it. You know, yeah. it was so fast. She's just holding it behind her back. She's like, here you go. I knew you were going to have a problem with that. I didn't love it. I also think it would maybe be a bit much to have an in-ring segment with a black sheet over it and Nia Jax is on the mic and we get 15 minutes about the new briefcase. But I don't know what you would do that's really in between those two things. But yeah, I feel like it could have been done better. It was just too quick and, you know, I mean, you easily could have missed it.
Yeah, right. I mean, I would have preferred just having the in-ring thing and cut away from some of the Bloodlines time, you know? There's time to be cut somewhere else, but yeah, I mean, the good thing about the briefcase is I like how it's kind of got its strap as if it's like a purse. You know, that's kind of cool. But the pink doesn't even pop out for me either.
Yeah, it did seem kind of like muted. And, you know, it just wasn't, I was expecting it to be more stylized, just more like Barbie-esque, bejeweled, all this stuff on it, you know. But it's not really much flashier than the original ones. Pink.
Yeah, because like even the diamonds or whatever jewels it is on the side, you know, they're you barely see them. You'd have to really be focusing to see them. I think they did a bad job with this, especially because people were kind of excited to see what they would do for the briefcase, and then this was kind of a letdown. But we'll see. I mean, I guess the briefcase, its actual design is not really what matters most here.
Yeah, it just didn't seem like they put much effort into changing it.
No. In which kind of a mistake, right? Because obviously they want to market it and sell it. That's the only reason that they've changed it. And I just don't really know if these are flying off the shelves.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tag Teamers Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to follow, like, subscribe, comment, wherever you're watching or listening. We will be back after SummerSlam, likely Sunday morning, with all of our reactions to everything that happens during the show.